listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut. Hey there, and welcome back to Forecast. This week, we are talking about business models. Now, this is a topic that's not addressed very often in professional services circles, and that's a big problem because your business model really addresses the most important question that's facing your business, which is, how do you make money? Now, if you're thinking, well, that's easy, I know how I make money because clients pay me to perform these services, then you're right, but that's not the whole picture. That transaction is only a part of your business model. It's definitely a good sign that something's working, but it doesn't capture everything that's going on behind the scenes to make that transaction possible. For example, what makes clients buy from you? What value are they looking for when they make that purchase or that transaction? How do you deliver the service? Do you do it yourself? Do you have junior staff? Do you outsource it? Do you have partners that help out with certain parts of the work? And what makes all of this profitable? Where is the value creation happening? Where are you actually making your money? And those are just a few questions that business model design can address for you. But the mistake that people make is they ignore their business model when they think that everything's working. Everything seems to be going just fine. And while things might be going well, maybe new business is coming in, maybe deals are getting signed, the problem is that when things don't go well, without a really solid business model, without something mapped out on paper that you have designed deliberately, you won't know what to do next. And beyond that, you'll be missing obvious opportunities. That when you have your entire model mapped out on a sheet of paper, things become really clear. Maybe there's a group of clients that you're not servicing that you should. Maybe there's a service that you're not offering that you should. Maybe there's some obvious partnering opportunities, and so on. And finally, with a business model mapped out on paper, which I'm going to show you how to do, by the way, you'll also be able to identify threats before they become threats. This is the flip side of opportunity. The reason that business model design is so important now more than ever is because there are so many threats to your business model as it stands that you need to be aware of. And business model design helps you identify and plan for those threats. So that's the simple case for business model design, but don't worry, this does not have to be some long, drawn-out, and complicated process. In fact, it can be really, really simple. And over the next three lessons, here's what we're going to do. In this lesson, we're going to look at the trends that are reshaping professional services as a whole. These are the trends that you need to pay attention to when crafting your business model. Then in part two of the series, we'll look at the four building blocks of a powerful business model for professional services. And finally, in part three, I will introduce you to a business model generation framework that you can use to get your model mapped out on paper so you can start making improvements to it. Now, before we get into it, if you haven't yet joined our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you're going to want to check that out. You'll get a proven 5-step process to generate a flood of new business for your firm. Best of all, the course is 100% free of charge, and you can get immediate access at 5leadgen.com. You can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. The first trend is technology. Now, if you can't think of ways that technology is reshaping your industry, then either you're blind, or you're not paying enough attention, or you have a massive opportunity on your hands. But chances are the changes are somewhat obvious. Let's look at an example that we can all relate to. Remember back in the day, going to the video store on a Saturday night? It was a sacred ritual. You'd go to the video store, you'd stroll through the aisles, you'd eat some free popcorn, and you'd decide which movie to watch. That's how you picked a Saturday night movie 10 to 15 years ago. But that's not what you do today. Today, you're streaming that movie on Netflix or you're downloading it on iTunes. Blockbuster Video went out of business long ago. And that's a very relatable example of how technology can make an entire business model extinct. The new business model of online video streaming made the old business model of DVD or video rentals a thing of the past. Blockbuster is out, Netflix is in. Now let's look at a professional services example, and this is another one that we can all relate to. Remember when you had to hire an accountant to do your tax returns? Before tax software, you had to hire an accountant to prepare even the most basic tax returns. If you didn't, you'd be left to your own devices to figure out what the tax forms were asking you to do and to add up numbers manually and so on and so forth. It was a massive headache. And I would know because my mom was one of the few people that chose to do this on her own. But now, you don't need to hire an accountant or deal with complicated manual tax forms on your own. Now we have software, and anyone can file a simple tax return and save themselves from having to hire an expensive accountant. Now, in this case, tax software didn't destroy the tax preparation industry, but it definitely pushed costs down. And most reputable accounting firms won't even bother taking on a simple return like that anymore, unless it's for an existing client. They save their time for the more complicated returns that require the tax planning intelligence of a qualified accountant. Now, I want you to think about your own industry. How has technology changed the way that you do business? Are there new competitors in your space that are using technology in ways that weren't possible before? Are there software or SaaS platforms that now do some of the simpler services that you provide at a fraction of the cost? Are there virtual firms that don't have a physical office space who then pass on the savings from their low overhead to their clients? I can almost guarantee that all of the above is happening in your industry, and if it hasn't happened yet, I can guarantee you somebody is working on it. The second key trend is information. Last week on the show, we talked about the buyer's journey, and we went through the three stages that every buyer goes through when they make a buying decision, and we looked at all the research and the homework that buyers are doing at each stage of the journey. But if we go back, 10 or 15 years ago, the buyer's journey looked very different because buyers didn't have the same access to information that they do now. They had to rely on conversations with professionals like you to get that information. So from that perspective, things were actually much easier for a seller. As a seller or a professional, you were an indispensable resource at the very beginning of the journey. So as soon as the buyer identified that they have a problem, they were then calling you up and showing up at your office for a meeting. And that's why the industry was so heavily relationship-based, because you'd only call somebody up if you already knew them or you were referred to them. But now it's completely different. That referral still matters and that conversation still matters, but the buyer isn't going into that conversation blind anymore. They now have a ton of data and information at their fingertips, and they're doing their own homework and their own research before they ever talk to you. And this has definitely shifted the balance of power. In the old model, you as a seller had all the power because you had the information that the buyer needed. But in the new model, the buyer has all the power because they can get that information on their own. They don't need you to get information. And this is an important shift in the way professional services are bought and sold. And if you take a quick scan at your competitors, I'll bet it's already pretty obvious who is going to take advantage of this shift and profit from it, and who is going to lose market share because they're ignoring what's happening here. Finally, the third trend is choice. This is in many ways a function of the first two trends, technology and information, because buyers now have more options and more choices than they know what to do with. There is so much information out there. There are so many service providers out there. There are so many firms out there. And from a buyer's perspective, they all look pretty much the same. Again, this was not so 20 years ago. Back then, if you needed an accountant, you relied on a referral from probably your lawyer. Or if you needed a financial planner, you probably relied on a referral from your accountant. It was all about relationships because buyers didn't have the information they needed to make a decision on their own, so they leveraged their existing relationships and the trust in those relationships. But now, Even if you get a referral from someone you trust, you're still going to do your own due diligence. You're going to look them up online. You're going to look at their competitors. You're going to review their websites. You're going to check them out on LinkedIn. You're going to make your own evaluation of all of those service providers. So the referral helps, but it's definitely not enough anymore. The bottom line here is that with the choices and the options available to buyers, differentiation is more important now than ever before. You can no longer afford to be just another firm. You can no longer afford to be indistinguishable in a sea of firms who all look and sound the same. Note, this is not about being better necessarily, because better is hard to prove. It's about being different. If you're different and you stand out from the pack, you'll get noticed. So those are the three trends that are changing the way professional services are bought and sold. I want you to think about how these trends are shaping your industry and your business and your profession, and then bring that data and those insights to the next lesson, where we'll take a look at the four building blocks of a powerful professional services business model. Now, if you haven't yet joined our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, check it out at 5leadgen.com. You can spell out 5 or use the number, either one works. That's 5leadgen.com. Also, if you like the show and you're enjoying it so far, do us both a favor and leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. You can pull up iTunes and search for Forecast Marketing, click on the show, subscribe to it, and then leave us a rating or a review. It helps more people discover the show, and I would be very grateful. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next time.